Taylor. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from the bottom of my birthday bash basement.
Woo! Woo-hoo.
We stimulate your audio canals with the soothing sounds of sacrilege against the state, causing you to question obedience and something else, but I can't read it because my mouse
I have my audio
working.
Cannula in.
Audio cannula?
Yeah, that's how I breathe the sweet compressed cans of oxygen of freedom.
Of liberty. Yeah. So we're just going to laugh as Western civilization collapses. And we should mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which does what now, James? James Babb, what does that do?
It means anybody can use this except the government.
Hashtag MWD colon.
Worms.
Hey, we're looking for an Android programmer. If there's anybody out there that can program apps for the Android language, contact us at freedomfiends.com. Job doesn't pay a lot of money, but it won't take long. It's porting a Windows product to Android Fiend Phone, and it'll make the world a better place, and you'll get a big share in anything we make off on it. Because I decided that would be the killer app for Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone on Android?
Yeah. Because
why not put it on iPhone? Can we just do that? There's more iPhones.
Here's why.
I'm pretty sure.
No, there aren't. There aren't. Android is the most common, by far, and prevalent operating system in the world now. I mean, it's even surpassed Linux, which technically it is Linux, but or it came from Linux. But Linux used to technically be the most common because most of the web servers of the world ran on it, like the backbone of the internet. But there's more installations of Android now than anything, because the phones and tablets are way cheaper than the iPhones. You know, like I paid $70 for an Android phone that pretty much does everything an iPhone can do.
Well, so. Yeah, you know, it's funny because we were talking earlier. My iPod kind of sort of died again, and I'm so depressed about that. But I ended up this time, instead of spending another $100 on a new Logic board, I just grabbed an old Android phone and bought a 120 gig memory card and put it in there. So it doesn't quite cut it. You know, it's not 256 gigs, but yeah.
Even so. Well, you know what a lot of people are doing too now is there's a, and I think they figured this out at Walmart and they're going to stop doing it, but Walmart is selling an Android phone for $10 that you're supposed to buy with,
right?
They assume you're going to use their service agreement with it, but it's not mandatory. So everyone's buying it and just using it for like, you know, an iPod or using it for a, you know, controller for their remote control for their home home music system or whatever, home media system.
How do I search for this? I'm going to go to walmart.com and see if
someone actually wrote an article telling people to do it. I think it was one of these like, I hate Walmart and capitalism.
Does that mean it's probably sold out by now?
Probably, but check it out. I mean, they're, and you know, even if they don't, you can get them for like $25 and tomorrow or Black Friday this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're actually having Black Friday sales already on Amazon.
You think I'm going to go to Walmart on Black Friday? Are you serious?
Oh, you my God. You don't have to your medical. Oh, we have a new ad. I should just play the new ad right now. I'm debuting this new ad. It's kind of insulting, but here it goes. It's the Fiends Christmas ad. This is going to run through Christmas.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are statists anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
There you go,
man.
And the part, you know, nice. Drive-by stabbings. I actually wrote that three years ago on something. Someone got stabbed at some mall at on Black Friday. Like they're trying.
Doesn't that happen every year?
I think it does, man.
It's so ridiculous. I went to a Black Friday once to get an Android smartphone at Walmart. And it was the most horrifying experience I've ever seen. Listen, I'm not even exaggerating. I was terrified.
Buy it online. Listen, I looked it up. There's a TracFone LG L15G. It says prepaid smartphone, $9.82.
There you go.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's it.
It's got Android. It's got a 3-megapixel camera. It's got Wi-Fi. It's got a SD card included. Okay,
that's SD cards are $10 usually.
That's So MP3 player. Wow. So
I'm going to tweet this. I got the link from Amazon, and
What is it on Amazon? Is it the same?
No, no. I'm sorry. On Walmart. I'm on Walmart.com. $10 smartphone. So go to freedomfiends.com Twitter for this link.
Smart man. I got to tell you. Spreading horizontal liberation just sounds super sexy.
It is. Yeah. It's better than horizontal enforcement, which is how... Do you want to explain that one, James? You know that one, right?
Like the way like they sort of like trick us into making each other pay taxes?
Yeah, the way they trick, like, you know, and basically...
Slave
like,
enforced slavery?
Yeah,
keeping the cattle in the cage.
Each other. Right. Literally raping each other because people are like, oh, you better not get caught with meth. You'll go to prison and drop the soap, man. You know?
Right.
Oh, man. Some of the stuff I've heard.
Want to just pick up the phone and dial it to get that person sent to jail anyway. You know, like people, like some people just thrive on that, but
they love it.
Whatever.
Does anyone else think that I was telling you guys, I've pretty much been tuned out of all media for the last 3 weeks, you know, I try to spend good my days working and hunting.
Why is that a good thing, though?
Well, because
it keeps my sanity.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
because I know Chandler.
I get like the Twitter feeds and the Facebook feeds every once in a while.
Twitters. I get the Twitters.
Right, that's all I need. It's just a little. I like to have a little bit of a, you know, maybe a little bit of a network access once a day. You know,
overstimulate your renal system. Really, I'm wired 24/7, man. That's why I broke down and got an Android phone. But anyway, back to Fiend Phone. Android on Fiend Phone would be the killer app for it. I mean, you'd have to use headphones or it would feed back. But literally, like the mic on most Android phones is pretty good. You could do a radio show from one of those things. So
will it work on this hardware configuration on this little Walmart special? That'll be the trick, right?
I think one
Let's
of the
make
problems
this the goal, at least, be, a target.
I think one of the problems is going to be most Android devices don't have a lot of memory. And, you know, they're made to work without a lot of RAM, like a half gig or a gig. But I don't know if that's enough to run Fiend Phone, even though they're optimized for it, because they're not really made for, you know, buffering live. I don't know. They work with Skype, though. It's probably possible.
Well, if you optimize the program to run more on CPU over RAM.
I know.
It shouldn't be.
They don't have a lot of that either.
Well, I don't know, man. My phone it's junky Galaxy 4, and it's got a quad core. It's like a 2.4 gigahertz quad core.
They have a lot of processor, but they don't have a lot of RAM or memory. I mean, most of them...
They don't even list the amount of RAM that it has. They just list the processor and storage.
It's like 512K.
Yeah, probably.
I know. It's so funny, like, looking back and looking at my smartphone, and like I said, I got a 120 gig card, micro SD card.
What a time
my first computer was an 800 megahertz Athlon with, I think it had 128 8K RAM, and it had a 40 gigabyte hard drive, and that was like top of the line.
Mine was nice. Worse. 40 gigabyte? My first computer was an Office Equipment International 8086 clone of an IBM running DOS that had a 5 meg hard drive and 512K of RAM.
Yeah.
What'd you have, James?
Well, there was the Commodore 64, I guess, which is
you had one?
Oh, yeah. That was a great computer. Learn basic programming and stuff, and it had a couple. It was like a game I could run, floppy disks, dot matrix printer. Yeah, yeah.
It had 64K of RAM.
And that was awesome. That was considered, like, really cool.
Yeah, I remember playing Oregon Trail on the old computers. You have died of dysentery. And there was like eight floppy disks to run the game.
Oh, this smartphone has half. It has 512 meg of RAM.
Yeah. Okay, so
mine has 2 gigs of RAM, which is really good for. It's 1 gig of RAM.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Say. Pretty good for. There's $400 Android phones that don't have that, or that have that only.
Well, if it did, the thing about iOS is that at least it's going to be on pretty beefy hardware. It is a smaller user base, though.
Yeah, it's
well, Apple wants to change that because they said that India is a completely untapped market for them, and they've got their sights set on that.
Yeah, Microsoft's going to catch up, though, because they're giving away Windows 10 for handheld devices to try to get
the market. There's a reason they're giving it away.
It's actually a great OS, but not really for handheld devices.
Really? I just did not like
it. I'm running it right now. So this track phone is made by LG. They make my wife and my washer and dryer. Life's good, LG.
Yep, and, they make a lot of cool stuff.
When our dryer goes off, it goes ding dong, ding dong, which is actually where we got the feeling phone, feeling phone. Yeah, she was imitating that but didn't realize it till like we'd had feeding phone for a year.
Whoa.
I think we're out for now. We'll be back.
We're going to the market.
We've been at the market. Let's leave the market. We're in the market for weird, weird radio that loses money.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
There, Michael W. Dean's out there somewhere.
Yeah.
We need to let people know this is a very special show. It is the third annual Chandler St. Pierre birthday show. Okay.
Yeah,
so we're pulling out all the stops. It's Chandler, Chandler, Chandler. Happy birthday, Chandler.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's only coffee grounds got in my filter.
That coffee you sent me, excellent. And I dug out that coffee maker that had the built-in grounder. Well, it got clogged the other day, and at first it leaked all over the place, and I stopped it and fixed that, and then I finished brewing, poured myself a big cup, was drinking it, loving it, and then all of a sudden, mouthful of coffee grounds.
No, the crunchy, you don't like crunchy style?
Not unless I'm camping.
What kind of a coffee drinker are you? That's the goodness, that gritty wholesomeness that lets you know you got some real coffee.
That doesn't happen unless it's after a hard night of drinking when I'm out in the woods camping. Then I don't mind it.
I've seen you drunk out in the woods. Now, cowboy coffee, that happens but cowboy coffee is when you make coffee a second time from the same chunk of grounds.
No, that's good not stuff. What cowboy coffee is.
It can also be called junkie coffee. No, what do you say it is?
Cowboy coffee is where you make it, and it's in something like a can where the top has like a screen on it, and you just put the water and the grounds in there, and you heat it on your fire, and then you pour it out through the screen, and it's coffee.
Yeah.
They have those, they're like tin double coffee whatever things, and you can make them over a campfire.
It's very low tech.
Yeah, they're great.
So I mean, name of tonight's show.
Oh dear.
We're still talking about coffee? We can talk about coffee. We are the market. It's going to be, it's inspired by Oprah, and it's going to be called, and you get a colonoscopy, and you get a colonoscopy.
Oh, God.
And it's based on the time that I saw Tom Waits play in 1989 on New Year's Eve.
Oh, you're so lucky.
In San Francisco. And he kept telling everyone to look under their seat for the free bottle of champagne. And he said it 5 times during the show, and it never appeared, but we all looked, all 1,200 of us. And you get a colonoscopy. All right, so my colonoscopy.
He is totally on my bucket list. I was just telling James, brilliant. I've been listening to Jason Molina a lot. I really like him, and the other one is Tom Waits. I've been really listening to him a lot.
Tom Waits is a weirdo. I like him.
I like the crazy marimba lines and the.
Yeah. See, I don't know, man, but dark vibe. James likes some good music, but James doesn't like some music I want James to like. Not only my music, but
we'll get him in the death clock.
Card, man. Yeah, death clock. Jeez. All right, so I had my colonoscopy. It went well, except for the big heated argument I had with the doctor and the anesthesiologist right before it happened. Because I'm allergic to one of the
anesthesiologist always gets the last word. He always does. Don't even try to argue.
Yeah, he does. But then we finally agreed everything was okay and I trusted him. It was basically I was given 4 different information that was all contradictory by 4 different people. So you know, I was allergic. I'm allergic to soy, and they were going to inject me with something with soy until I told them not to. And they were like, well, we could do it anyway. And I'm like, no. And they were kind of freaking out because I show up for this highly invasive procedure for my first one in my life. Most men are supposed to get a few of them in their life. I'm showing up because I'm bleeding from my butt, which is not normal with my, married.
So we're not going to say this is the first time you've been to the emergency room for this, but
no, you read Starving to Come into Beautiful Women. So, my novel, which you can go get on my on the Freedom Fiends Twitter page, you can download it free. So, and the procedure itself kills 1 in 10,000 people who get it. And, anesthetic kills more people than that. So, everything good, without my special problems, this could kill me. And they're freaking out because I'm freaking out. Hey, I need assurances here. It's just, they're like, yeah, well, we sure we can kill you. So we're going to do it. So,
right. You factor in your drive to the procedure.
Yeah.
You had 1 in 10 chance of dying.
My wife drove me there and back. She's a good driver. But
just statistically, you the anesthesia times the procedure times the transportation.
Yeah.
Glad you survived.
Times my special conditions, which I don't want to be special. And I found out from this doctor, I'm probably way more special than I thought I was because, all right, the whole thing went really well. They removed 7 polyps. I talked about them for an hour last night on the show. I talked about them on drugs. I was still on anesthetic on last night's Fiends. And the anesthetic they gave me was propofol, which is, how cool is this? It's what Michael Jackson died of. All right, I was on that.
Wow.
And they sent off the polyps.
Always want that, don't they?
Who?
Worms.
What?
After somebody dies, that isn't that the drug
deal? New Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So it's all colon all the time.
It's beyond colon. It's so I was making a list of and the picture I'm going to use for tonight's show, since it's birthday Chandler night, is a picture of Chandler soldering over a desk full of a whole bunch of electronics at Derek Slopey's house. So
he's making a quote unquote he's making a clock.
Yes, he's making a clock. That's all we need to say. And I give him aid and comfort by sending him coffee. So you can kick in my door too. It's come on. I'll put out some cookies. It's a safe and fun door to kick in. No, it's not. So I made a list of my ailments. Here they are. And they're all very severe. There's asthma, which is, you know, not normally that severe, but I have status asthmaticus, which is
asthma. I'm glad we have a long segment here.
So severe. James doesn't want to talk about my problems. He wants
I'm glad we've got time for it all. I'm amazed I'm alive.
It's a miracle. All right. So I have status asthmaticus, which is asthma that's so severe it does not respond to asthma medication. I have sleep apnea, 3 times per hour, the events that would define extreme sleep and apnea, 40 per hour. I have like 145 per hour. I have central sleep apnea, which is like sleep apnea, and these are all diagnosed now by doctors. I have central sleep apnea is physical. It's like, you know, your throat closes when you try to sleep. Central sleep apnea is brain based. It's your brain trying to kill you. It's far worse than sleep apnea, and it's basically your brain just doesn't want to breathe. It just gives up when you sleep. I have GERD, which is advanced acid reflux, where acid from my stomach goes into my lungs. I have mild tachycardia, which means my heart rate at rest is usually about 100 beats per minute. I have mild, I can't even pronounce this. It's so new to me. Diverticulitis. Diverticulitis. I don't even know what that is. And then I had polyps in my colon, and then I had a tumor on my thyroid, or a polyp on my thyroid, or a thing. What was the thing on my thyroid? Do you guys even remember?
Let me check the Twitter feed. Hold on. Yeah. That's hashtag NWD thyroid.
Thyroid nodule. Thyroid nodule that's been tested. And I have a mild hiatal hernia. I have allergies that are 10 times as severe when measured by IDE levels. Now, here's the name for the new syndrome that the doctor who did the colonoscopy thinks I have based on talking to me and being up in there. He thinks I have something called Jobes syndrome, which only 300 people in America have. You know, I am one in a million if I have this. And it's pretty bizarre. It's basically like the body is allergic to itself. It often manifests itself as like boils all over the body, which mine doesn't. Hence is why it's called Job syndrome, after Job of the Bible. You know, the one that I never liked that story. It was like,
I don't know. I don't think that's a good thing to have a disease named after.
God and the devil. Yeah, get together and like make a bet, and
we're gonna torment this one. Watch how much we can torment one, and he'll still come back.
I know. What a sucker. God's like, what a sucker. Yeah. So they so there's several names for this thing. Another is hyperimmunoglobulin E syndrome. Another is
wait a minute. What's the hashtag for that one?
I don't know, man. Job MWD. Autosomnial dominant hyper IgE syndrome. And so the really weird thing, like the main symptom of it is IgE levels, which is a measurement of how allergic you are to things, that is over 2000, which is extreme. Like normal people are 75. People who have bad allergies are like 300, and mine was like 2500. And that's why I'm taking the hamster ovary shots.
When you
now
do something, you do it well, usually.
Apparently,
right?
Man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you don't. There's no half measures for you. If I understand like you.
When I first smoked pot, I was like, "This is boring, man. I'm going to become an alcoholic." And then I got bored with that and became a heroin addict. And then I got clean and like haven't done any drugs, except, you know, when I have a colon out removed or something. Yeah. Since then, yeah, I'm all or none. So. But the really weird thing, the other symptom of this thing is, and this is so weird because I have this and I didn't even remember it, because I didn't tell the doctor, asked me. He said, he said, did your adult teeth grow in while your baby teeth were still there? And I was like, yeah. And like they had to surgically remove four of the adult teeth and then like move baby teeth around to take the place.
Neanderthalitis. Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. Is it? Neanderthalitis. You've got an unusually high amount of Neanderthal genes.
Now you were talking the other day, like Neanderthals are the inferior, and you guys discussed the fact that everyone has some Neanderthal in them. Because, but you know what the current theory is that the Neanderthals actually had the more advanced brain, and they took over. What was the other subspecies or species?
They were voted out by Homo sapiens, basically.
No, they basically made it out.
They voted and were killed.
Made it and were killed.
Lost.
Yeah, the Homo sapiens killed them and raped them until they were all gone and absorbed.
That's what I said. Voted.
Yeah. Voted. Yeah, where voting came from. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I may have Job syndrome. Google it, people. I have the documents.
Hashtag MWD Job.
Is Job. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I hope it's. I don't know what it really means. Is it dangerous? Is it?
It means my body is allergic to itself, I think.
Does that mean there's a cure for that, or?
Yeah, death. Okay. So.
All right.
I'm done. Let's go on. You want to talk about ISIS or Berwick?
Well, I think, you know, segueing from your colon, now you remember Op Paris, okay? This is the anonymous operation to hack ISIS, right? And to win the war against ISIS. Anonymous is on board, and they suggested things like rickrolling all the Twitter feeds of ISIS supporters. So we have...
But they get it all wrong. I mean,
well, Ed, look, before you criticize, you publish a list of ISIS Twitter accounts and see how you do. We figured
I wouldn't.
I figured it's close enough to send everybody your 4K video of your colonoscopy.
Colon. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm waiting for that. It's got to go to the drugstore and get developed
with surround sound and high res smell-o-vision.
Well, ISIS is now trying to taunt Anonymous. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yes.
Ooh, now how does that work?
I don't know.
I want to know more about that.
But this whole thing is super, super bizarre to me, right? Because I thought in today's totalitarian state that, like, you couldn't be a terrorist and publish things on the interwebs, right? And supposedly ISIS or, I don't know, I heard Obama call them ISIL today in his press conference.
Oh, they got a bunch of names. They're also called Danesh, I think it is. Well, the hip people don't want to call it, like, there's a tendency against calling them ISIL or ISIS because that stands for Islamic State in the something, Israel and Syria, or no, Israel and Syria, Iran and Syria, Iraq and Syria, or Islamic State in the Levant, or now there just is, which is Islamic State. But people say that
what does is mean?
Well, to ask Bill Clinton what the definition of is. So, right. No, but the thing is, like, calling them any of those three variations with Islamic State in them is doing what they want. It's admitting that they are a state. And the people that don't like them, you know, call them Dinesh or Duret. Is it Dinesh? And it's kind of like when they put on Jesus, King of the Jews, making fun of him, you know?
Yeah,
it's one of those things. I forget what it stands for, but let me look up.
So, it just blows my mind that like they have they're recruiting on social media. It just seems like I don't want to say
how they get away with it.
It's because
they don't care if they die. I mean, if you didn't care if you die, you can post something on the internet without fear of getting caught. That's the secret weapon, really.
I'm not saying it's all false flag
Daesh,
and it's all
D-A-E-S-H.
Government conspiracy stuff, but it just seems so 1984 to me, right?
It seems like 1584 to me, man.
We've always been at war with ISIS.
Yeah. You know, I mean...
You're quoting... We were
talking about that during the break, right?
1984.
Like, Al-Qaeda just wasn't cutting it, right? People were laughing when they talked about Al Qaeda.
The sequel always has to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it just blows my mind being out in public and talking to people over the last month or two everyone's ISIS this, ISIS that, and they're all freaked out. And I'm like, why?
People are being encouraged to call them Daesh, D-A-E-S-H, because it's got a double meaning, because it sounds similar to the Arabic word for one who sows discord. I don't know why that'd be an insult to them. I think that's their whole
point. Yeah, that's exactly.
Isn't it up to them to just, you know, decide what they should be called? I mean,
yeah, it's not agreeing. It's not doing what their will, basically.
Maybe it's because people love the idea of states so much that when the ISIS wanted to be a state, they're like, "Whoa, you're gonna tarnish this wonderful image we've given states."
Yeah,
I don't even know if it's possible for a new recognized state to emerge. In this, is it? When's the last time?
Of course, it is. Just the question is, how much firepower does it take to be recognized?
It's true, and people willing to die, you know, suicide commando style. I mean, you know, every soldier in every army everywhere expects they may die, but when people are willing to just like plan to die, they have an advantage over people who are trying to go back home to a family.
Well, and, you know, but remember, wars, this is today, or that's really kind of yesterday's war. The war of the future is meme-based, remember? So,
Yep.
So that's why they're taking advantage of all the social media.
Well, let's talk about this meme with Jeff Barrick, then. First, we have to explain what Jeff Barrick is, for people who don't know.
Isn't that some sort of strange creature that resides in the jungles of South America?
No, Mexico, Central America.
Oh, Jeff! No, Jeff publishes the Dollar Vigilante, and he has a great podcast called Anarchast, which has had just dozens and scores of awesome guests, great interviews with anarchists. The Dollar Vigilante is well read. You know,
really?
I used to.
I think it is.
Four years ago, I used to read that site often. A lot of the websites I went to referenced it, but I haven't been to it lately, so I can't
say. I think Jeff Barrick is the worst person in Liberty, hands down.
Whoa. Even worse than he who cannot be named?
Molyneux? Cantwell?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow.
I've got somebody worse when we come back from the break.
All right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Best sticker I've ever seen on a hacker's computer. I'm looking at it now. My other computer is a data center. That's pretty nice. Good. So we're going to go on to joking about ISIS and what weenies they are and how their feet stink and they're liars. But we'll get there. I realize that I dropped a big egg in the turd bowl here that I have to follow up on. I can't say Jeff Barrick is the worst person in Liberty and then just go on to something else. So,
wow,
Jeff Barrick. Yeah, and you're shocked that I said it because you were just singing his praises. But that's not uncommon,
well, you know,
on the Fiends for you to like someone and me to say, no, he's bad. But I think he's horrible.
Well, I don't know what's in his heart, but I just know some of his work, and I want to hear what made you come to this conclusion.
I think he is responsible, directly or indirectly, for about 30 people losing their life savings, and I think that's far worse than anything Molyneux's ever done. I think it's far worse than anything Cantwell's ever done, and nobody else in Liberty. I'll put it this way: I think outside of Liberty, he would have been murdered by now. for his involvement in that whole thing down there. Basically, he's a guy who was a financial advisor, financially advised a bunch of people based on like years of predictions of everything's going to go boobs up and we're all going to die and we're all going to be living in, you know, without electricity next month. You know, basically, if you read The Dollar Vigilante, it is a
it's doom and gloom.
It's doom and gloom. It's doom and gloom.
It's apocalyptic.
With a financial component.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can praise that. I mean, it's been wrong. I mean, if you really want to look at it, it's been wrong.
Eventually, it'll be right. But we don't know how long it's going to take to get to Armageddon. So
that's the thing about
that week, it'll be right.
Doom porn is you can make money at it for decades, scaring the crap out of people. And then you may be right one day because that's how things work, even if you didn't research it. So he and a couple other people had this land scheme or plan to have libertarian paradise in some socialist country in South America. It was Chile, right?
Yes,
which,
right.
First of all, if you actually got away with building up a nice town there, they would just come take it. The government or the narco terrorists down there would take it by force. It was a ridiculous plan. It's ridiculous to try to build a libertarian paradise.
Now, in let's take that apart right there, because that
sounds socialist country.
That doesn't sound like what I've heard, but about Chile. So this if you can't build something nice there, I'd kind of like to have you. Maybe you could tell us more why you've come to that conclusion.
Well, I mean, 20 years ago, that country was led. That country is too close out of having a leader who was literally Hitler. Pinochet was the worst, man. And there's like Germany, like Russia, there are people who pine for the good old days of order.
Right.
You know, when they were on the good side of the terrorist. And
but, you know, I mean, Pinochet, I worry about people that live in Philadelphia, because that regime is constantly stealing people's property right now. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so,
but even, you know, so, I guess Pinochet made those people look like just, well,
of course,
and
I'm not comparing, right? But that's Pinochet. He's not there anymore.
But that was like in our lifetime, man. I mean, he was ousted in 81. All I don't trust a country that in 81 had a guy who was literally Hitler killing his own people for criticizing him in mass. But you know, Pinochet also had like some libertarian financial advisors. That's kind of weird. You know about that? The Chicago boys.
I thought they were more of the Keynesian economist types.
Neoliberal kind of, yeah, but you know, kind of like Reaganomics, free market American,
the
what passes
down
for it. You know, I wanted to ask you, we can get back to the Berwick thing, but I wanted to ask you, James Babb, if you're a fan of the TV show Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Of course.
What do you think as a denizen of the Philadelphia area who loves the police there? No, I'm being sarcastic. Who knows how the police are there? You ever think about the character Mike Ehrmantraut, like his backstory in Better Call Saul?
It's a great story.
He's an ex-Philly cop who quit being a Philly cop because he had to go murder some Philly cops who'd murdered his son for not being a corrupt enough Philly cop.
This sounds like they could have just like taken it right out of reality.
The news.
Just printed it as a script.
Yeah. All right, so Berwick, here's why I believe, like, I don't want to. Berwick's a likable guy. I've met him, hung out with him. He's, you know, you want to have a beer with him. He seems like he walked right off of the set like an extra in Miami Vice, and he wears the white suit for it, you know, and he's hip, slick, and cool. And you kind of feel sorry for him when you see that Mexican MTV video that's going around of him getting.
All right, let's get back to this when we come back.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Liberty. Right. We're broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. high top Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Lib Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments.
Yeah.
Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I would also add that Chandler's birthday is covered by BIPCOT.
Woo-hoo!
Okay.
Awesome. That's right. I don't want government using my day.
Right. Anybody else can have fun on Chandler's birthday except
not
government.
Nope. No fun. Yeah. They don't want to have fun anyway. They're so square.
This is the third annual Chandler St. Pierre birthday show.
I think you should do his half birthdays and quarter birthdays, too.
Brought to you by hashtag right. MWD colon.
That's not good for my birthday.
It's trending, though.
I'm sure it is.
All right, so we're talking about Berwick. Jeff Berwick is a bon vivant, man about town, you know, guy who, I don't know, people have conflicting opinions of him. There's this video out from Mexican MTV, and that's a thing. And like American MTV, they don't play music on there anymore. And this is like people, he's on a show that looks to me like the Mexican equivalent of Jersey Shore. And some Mexican Guido looking dude shoves him to the ground for hitting on his women. I don't know. I need to get Hugo on this, our Mexico City correspondent, to not only translate, but there may be like, you know, subtle body language translations that we'd miss even if we knew the Spanish. So I want to know what happens, Hugo. If you go to freedomfiends.com/blog right now, there's a GIF, an animated GIF of the actual punch shove. And I'll try to find the video itself and post on there too. But
I think that stinks that he had to endure that. I don't, you know, like I'm not going to laugh at him for, you know, getting punched by some guy. Like
I am. He's a married man hitting on women in a bar.
Are you sure that's... Well, I just saw the GIF. I couldn't tell what it was. So, any event, I don't think, you know, I don't think that whatever he said would have warranted violence against him. I just don't...
No, I think it was, you know, the American is hitting on our women. And it wasn't really a punch. It was a shove.
It looked quite forceful.
It looked like the guy could have killed him with one hand, but just shoved him, you know? I mean, the guy was a beefcake, steroid, Jersey Shore-looking Mexican dude who looked really, really gay to be defending the women's honor. But, you know, who knows how machismo works in third-world countries.
Anyway, but you had said he's the worst person in Liberty.
Yeah.
The question was, okay, so a bunch of people lost money in a real estate thing.
Like $7 million, not a little bit of money.
That's a lot of money, but, you know,
and it was
the question
a lot
is,
of people's
was this
life
bad,
savings.
Was it bad business choices or was it fraud? It's a big difference there.
I am not going to accuse anybody of fraud on the radio, but I'm going to say...
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt with an asterisk, because I had a tiny business dealing with him, and I imagine that people, you know, how they deal with $600 is about how they deal with $600,000. And the guy drinks a lot, and a lot of people who know the story I'm about to tell again, who have dealt with him in person, say he was probably drunk, and that's why he forgot. So... And there is a string of emails and instant messages and Skype instant messages and places where I'd have to go through in the video and find the exact moment he said something where we interviewed him. I could provide, if Jeff Berwick ever says, this is hogwash, Michael, prove it. If he says this, I will go through and spend the hours it would take, which would be more than the hours I worked for him, the hours it would take to produce the proof of this. But so basically... I met him at Porkfest. He was interviewed by Ben Stone in Ben Stone's Quakermobile, and I helped do the sound on it. And I guess Jeff had seen, oh, you can do sound on a, you know, you can get good sound on a recording. So I wrote Jeff. I'd been chatting with him, and I was like, hey, you know, you should hire me for $75 an hour to do some consulting. I do this kind of stuff all the time for free for people who aren't, you know, jet-setting millionaires, and he presents himself as a jet-setting millionaire. So I said, $75 an hour, it'll probably take 6 to 10 hours to get you good. And if you guys recall, before I helped him with this, his audio and video were pretty horrible, and now they're pretty great. And that's because of the work I did for him, consulting, telling him what to buy, how to hook it up, how to move the camera, how to move the lights, etc. So I actually did the work, and the work actually vastly improved his videos. So I told, you know, he hired me to do this work, And I did this work. It was between 6 and 10 hours, probably over a month's time. You know, it was when he had time and when I had time. And at some point I was like, well, he wanted me to do more. And I was like, well, I think we should figure out how much you owe me now and let me invoice you for it. And then we'll go on. And he said, what do you mean invoice me? And I was like, yeah, you hired me. Here's, you know, and he's like, oh, I thought I didn't hire you. I just thought you were a cool guy and you were helping me out for free after he hired me, you know? So that's really, really flaky. And then I produced all the emails and sent them to him and reminded him of things that he'd forgotten. And he's like, oh yeah. And like, still didn't want to pay me. And I said, you know,
that's kind
of SOB. What's that?
That is kind of beat of like, once you showed him that and he still didn't want to pay you.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you effing millionaires never pay your bills. And he said something to me that's pretty striking for a guy who presents himself as a jet setting millionaire and uses that impression to get people to trust him to invest. He said, I'm practically bankrupt. I don't have any money. So I have that email for sure, where this financial advisor who says who presents himself as rich says,
you know,
he's broke.
When you say presents himself, I don't see him, you know, walking around with like, you know, a lot of bling or like sports cars or maybe that's not really fair to say things,
but he said things that like he has private armies of hackers and mercenaries that he'll send after people who criticize him too.
All I know about the guy is that day at Porkfest, after he got done the interview with Ben when we were getting ready to have our food, Lou and I believe it was Lou, it was either Lou or Diana, one of us was with me, and we just tried to strike up a conversation because we had seen his videos and we knew who he was, and he was totally blew us off. And, you know, that drives me nuts. Like, I don't buy into the whole celebritarian thing. I was like, hey, man, you know, read your blog and seen some of your videos.
It must have been Lou, because if it was Diana, he would have flirted with her. He flirts with every woman.
Okay, so it's probably
flirting
Lou
with married women while their husbands are like 10 feet away. But yeah. The end of my experience with him was he finally agreed to pay me 2/3 of what he owed me. And he paid me in Bitcoin and was really reluctant. So, you know, that's how
a total loss. Right.
Right.
What a nuisance.
It was like pulling teeth on a Wolverine, you know, to get money I'd earned stinks from the guy. That's not free market.
And it is the level of transaction where like a, you know, an email should cover it, a handshake. It's not like you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars or something.
We didn't need a contract.
Know? Right. So it's like an email should be good enough. And then even if he is a drunkard and didn't know what he was doing, once he sobered up and read the stuff, he should have been like, oh, I guess I did, you know.
Yeah.
And what did we learn from this experience?
Prepay.
Yeah.
Contracts. Actually, yeah.
No, prepay. Prepay. Yeah. Contracts, you know, I didn't do a contract with him because I trusted his reputation. And his reputation was, you know, a guy who probably has $600 in Bitcoin in his couch cushions. You know, and does big money deals.
You know what I do with my clients, then, and, you know, even the ones that I trust a lot, I always just have a simple work order. It's not like a bunch of legalese. It's just, I don't even call it
it's
contract.
A paragraph.
It's a work order.
Yeah.
That says, look, this is what the job is. This is what you're going to be billed.
Okay? Yeah.
Sign it and fax it back, you know?
Yeah.
And then, and you know what? I've never had a question as to, well, you said it, you were going to do this, or you said it would cost that. We all have just a simple thing to refer to and be like, and I've virtually never been stiffed in 20 years of being in business.
Right. And there were things in writing with the Galt's Gulch land share in Chile, but there's three people who were all pointing fingers saying the other guy was a thief.
Well, there's been several of these types of projects, and every time I look at them, you know, I'm not an expert, but my BS alarms just go off every time I just read it, and I check prices and I look at the land price and I'm like, that's pretty high. What's the water scene? You know, like do you own water this, or you just like bought an option to buy it and you're going to double the price and see if I'll take it? Like,
there was
a lot
of that kind of question going on with that thing. You know, the funny thing is somebody else is doing another not similar, but doing another libertarian, let's all move to Chile, we have some land thing, and they're calling it Gulch Gulch. I'm like,
drop it. Let's move on, guys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what? Anybody can go buy some land in Chile. Like the, what I was thinking about, like, well, if it catches on, I'll just go buy my own land at 1/10 the price. Like, cool. And then I'll hang out with you guys on the weekends. That'd be awesome, you know?
Yeah. There's something on Facebook. There's a group called Gulch Gulch Chile Rehab and the Exposing of Ken Johnson. Wasn't Ken Johnson one of the other guys?
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. I only know Berwick. So here's what I think. I think even if Berwick has not a criminal bone in his body, even if it was all accidental, which, you know, it might have been based on that he accidentally forgot he hired me. He might have accidentally forgot that people paid him thousands of dollars. Even if that's the case, I think he should quit calling himself a financial advisor. And he's had other things that went belly up, too. And
that's like saying, hey, if you're a doctor and like one of your patients dies, are you not allowed to be a doctor anymore?
No, because he said he's bankrupt. What kind of financial advisor is bankrupt and still says they're a financial advisor?
Right. It's like taking like diet advice from somebody who weighs 400 pounds.
Right. I've done diets lots of times, I can tell you. Yeah.
it's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. And I hope that he sort of turns that around, because I think like so many of our, you know, the great libertarians in our movement, or just say people that are capable of greatness, you know, not great men, but people that are capable.
He's not
of
very
greatness.
Smart. He's really not very smart. That's the secret too. You ever talk to him?
He's not great.
But you tried.
I like his suit. I like Anarchast a lot. I think it's pretty solid, and you know, we're all flawed in one way or another. And you know, I don't want to
see the holes in my hand.
Are you bleeding from the palms?
I am. No, I used to tell my mother I was perfect. She'd look at my hands for holes. It's funny,
but
it's weird.
Anyway,
you're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. No, that's news to me. So
it's the
Alpha
law.
Centauri, they could be listening to Freedom Fiends on their smartphones.
And you get a colonoscopy.
I'm not 50 yet. I'm not getting one. Sorry.
You know, they used to say 40.
I know.
If it were that, like all the fiends except Nick Hazelton would have one. We'd just line up. But yeah. So you got something to say, birthday boy?
Yep. So like I said, I've been tuned out for a while. And I tried to tune back in a little bit because I figured I'm going on the radio. I might as well see what's going on in the world. And I was watching the news with, you know, the Turkey shooting down the Russian plane and ISIS and the Paris bombings and all this ridiculousness that's going on. And it kind of hit me like a revelation that the existence of the state is really hindering humanity's step towards evolution and enlightenment. Humanity gets so wrapped up, whether it's in nationalism or an overall geographic location and ethnicity fostered by the state, they get so wrapped up in that we go to wars and you know, I hear people saying, I'm not taking in them Syrian refugees, they're probably all a bunch of terrorists, and it's just like, wow, really? You know, I mean, how can we as a race progress and stop, you know, polluting, killing the earth, killing each other, when we have this entity that people want to worship as some sort of god that has all the answers, that'll keep us safe, that'll protect us, you know, that'll create these laws that'll govern our lives for the better? It just seems so counterintuitive to me.
What, flat earth chemtrails?
Yeah
really,
that too.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of
I can't even believe that's a thing, honestly. Yeah.
What were you talking about? I had to step away for a minute. Sorry.
Well, I was just talking about how the overall existence of the state as both an idea and as a physical entity is hindering humanity's evolution. And,
well, let's
and
stop humanity's right there. Enlightenment. Let's stop right there, because I think there's a slight, although I understand what you're saying, there's a slight flaw in your reasoning there. When you say humanity's evolution towards something, evolution doesn't work towards something. There's no guarantee
it works
that,
away from flaws.
You know, or just no, it just goes to, you know, what reproduces best, you know, and like that might be more peaceful living. That might also be like really big teeth.
1984 two babies.
Well, okay, I'll give you
like
an example.
Look at a crocodile. Really... A crocodile has like hasn't really changed much in like 100 million years.
That's
because
true.
They found it turns out big teeth work. This whole idea of a brain, big brain and language, tools and internets and fiend phones, that's all totally untested.
Well, and apparently rifles are getting the attention. I mean, you know, think about ISIS. I mean, they're horrible, but their agenda is horrible too. I mean, you think about why people like the founding fathers, and they say of America, and they say like, you know, well, when there's a quote from Boston Tea Party, I really like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something the equivalent of like, you know, when the Redcoats came across the bridge at Lexington, Concord, the Patriots on the Massachusetts side didn't stand there quoting John Locke at them. They shot them, and they shot them well. And that is counterintuitive to like the non-aggression principle that most libertarians base their thoughts on, but it also isn't. You know, if you consider it like preemptive self-defense, and it gets into all these murky, you know, kind of moral situations that we joke about a lot of times and talk about, you know, libertarian indulgences being issued and things like that. But really, and I'm not calling for that kind of stuff, because I almost think that
it would play right into their hands.
And in the era of drones, it's kind of like last century technology, you know?
It is.
And I don't know.
Mean-spirited too.
Yeah. And I don't know what the thing that's going to take the place of it is. You know, I like the Ben Stone philosophy that it's, you know, logic and blockchains and communication and being right. Although
it'll make the state irrelevant.
Not to speak for Ben Stone, because he's not doing stuff anymore, but he can tweet and correct me if I'm, I think he went out on retirement kind of like not all feeling that way anymore. I don't know, but he says a few things here and there. Like he talked about, you know, I said the other day that my favorite part of the, I was watching Breaking Bad all the way through, and I said, Breaking Bad sure is fun the second time through if you skip every scene with Marie. And then, you know, Ben Skyler. Stone. Skyler and Marie, yeah. And Skyler is who I said. And Ben Stone said, yeah, and skip every scene with Marie, and then put the scene where Hank gets shot on a loop.
Yeah.
I like that scene.
Yep,
are we out?
We're going to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
You know, there's also a lot of admirable drunks. There were pathetic drunks, and then there were admirable drunks. And that's a shame that he ended up in the other category.
So before we go to Chandler's birthday wishes, I want to hijack here a little more. You were asking about the opt-outside hashtag, James. Hashtag opt-outside. It's people who want you to not shop on Black Friday. This
Don't
happens
tell me what
every
to do.
Year.
Is this,
I remember,
now, why is so Anonymous commie. Doing this op?
It's so commie. I don't know. There was a moment about 2 years ago where there were some people in Anonymous that were almost libertarian and like steering the message that way. But yeah, anybody who tells you what to do and tells you not to engage in free commerce on a day when it's really cheap is not giving good advice, I think.
I don't really understand it. You know, the mayhem. You know what? I've always wanted to celebrate on that Friday. I call it Black Market Friday.
Yeah.
And I think if it's a good opportunity to, you know, to treat yourself to the black market and to, you know, and to reward the participants in the black market for providing the goods and services that everybody needs at sometimes great risk. You know, thank those providers for their service.
This is actually, I misunderstood it. Just based on that some people are co-opting it for that. It's actually from REI, that like camping store, what's it called?
Right.
Is closing Black Friday, all their stores, and giving all their workers a paid day off. And nice. And their hashtag is opt outside. So it's a promotion. It's a company.
See, I thought it was
trying to raise money.
Outside from the latest from Anonymous, but it's actually outside. Okay,
it's
whatever.
Actually the free market getting free advertising while looking like they're not open, or like, you know,
clever.
Closing. Like, well, it's cool for them to close because they're saying, "Go use our equipment that you've bought outside for what it's used for. Go camping." You know.
That would be a little rough, depending on where you're at. I'm not going camping.
Chandler,
I sat out
freezing.
In the woods. I sat out in the woods the other day, and it was cold.
I don't like holidays where everybody closes.
You know? I don't like days where everybody's supposed to do or feel the same thing. I've been offended by that since I could speak, since way before I understood liberty or anything or collectivism. Or I hated it.
It's like when people say you're like supposed to decorate after Thanksgiving.
Christmas. Or now it's supposed to be like some kind of like cruel to workers to make them work on Friday after Thanksgiving.
To pay them work.
You know, like,
over and full of food.
What? You know, maybe those workers ought to have a say in, like, you know what? Maybe they want to work that day. That'd be
I'm working that
first
day.
World, that's a first world problem. I'm too full of food and booze to work.
Yeah, I've got too much work. You know, how dare you work the workers because with work.
I ate enough to feed an African family of 10 yesterday. I feel fat and don't want to work. Yeah.
Anyway, back to Chandler's birthday.
What's up, Chandler?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm working Friday. But if I wasn't, I wouldn't be at the stores. I'd be out hunting. But that's just me because, like, I went to a Black Friday once, and it was the most terrifying experience I've ever...
Yeah, you got stabbed or something.
Oh, man. There was all these people, like, touching me, and, oh, it was horrible. Yeah. And, you know, I can deal with it. If I'm at a show rocking out to some good bands, I can deal with that, you know, because it's camaraderie.
So you're but kind of people.
Yeah, when I'm at Walmart, and it's just crazy people just...
That's ridiculous. I think it's best enjoyed with online shopping.
Yeah, Cyber Monday rocks, man. I love it. Oh. It's good for shut-ins like me.
So do you guys want to move to libertarians that believe in flat earth and chemtrails?
No.
Okay. Then I want to say one thing I forgot to say about my colonoscopy that's really cool. The doctor said that when like the when I was starting to come, you know, they were done and I was recovering and I was starting to come to because I was completely unconscious. As soon as I started to come to, I ripped the IV out of my hand.
That's so like, metal.
It is so metal. And it's, and I think I said something because the way they told me, yeah, and you, like, they were laughing about it, and you said, you know, I think I said something like, why are you trying to kill me? I'm not ready for the lethal injection. Get me out of this FEMA camp or something, you know? Like, I didn't know. I have some memory of something really inappropriate coming out of my mouth.
Some kind of, like, alien abduction, like, suppressed memory.
Alien. Show me on the doll.
Well, you did get a colonoscopy.
Where the Area 51 scientists touch you. Yeah.
Alien abduction. Yeah, all these flashbacks from your Area 51 experience.
Yeah, it was funny. Well, you know, it's kind of a cliche in movies of people ripping the IV out of their arm. But I thought about it, and it's so powerful that I think I've only seen it in two or three shows. But it seems like a cliche. And my favorite though is Harry Dean Stanton in Repo Man. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes,
great movie, great movie. James, have you seen it?
I don't think so.
Oh, go see it. The 1984 movie Repo Man. And I used to be friends with the actress in that movie, Olivia Barish. We used to shoot dope together before we got clean. And she's really cute in that movie. And it was really weird. It was like I fell in love with her in that movie and then met her and became friends with her and was kind of like, ugh, okay.
Creepy.
But no, it wasn't creepy. She was just
for her.
She was an actress for her. Yeah, there you go. There you go. But in that movie, he's like, everyone's trying to get this Chevy Malibu, 64 Chevy Malibu, that's worth like $20,000 because it has aliens in the trunk. And all these repo men are trying to get it. And Harry Dean Stanton's character ends up in the hospital and he's unconscious and he wakes up and there's this preacher on the TV in his room and the preacher's saying, he is, brothers and sisters, he is risen. It's just quiet in the background. And when he says that, like Stanton wakes up, like he is risen and he pulls the IV out of his arm. He's in a hospital gown. He's like, F this. And he just like walks out of the hospital. It's such a, nice. I'm, you know, such a macho thing to do that. I think it was like in my brain. And I think it was me not wanting to feel powerless. Cause the whole procedure is pretty powerless feeling.
Right. And it's kind of like you were like in Guantanamo Bay and they were, you know, they were force feeding you.
Yeah. And I just woke up and slapped two Marines and jumped on a raft and came to Florida. Yeah. There you go.
Well, I'm glad you didn't like grab the scalpel and like take a hostage or.
Man, the.
Yeah. You know, thanks for that.
The anesthesiologist was really burly. I think he could have dealt with that. Maybe they have to be burly to deal with that.
I wonder if that's a job requirement.
So there's a video of James Babb discussing chemtrails with somebody at Porkfest. It's one of my favorite videos. also because, as you know from my Harry Dean Stanton description, I'm a big fan of background comedy in comedy. And in that discussion where you're sitting telling this lady she's an idiot sitting at a table at Porkfest, there's a guy behind you with a rifle being like really
swinging
unsafe.
It around. He's like in a marching band or something.
I want
right?
to slap that guy, man. Yeah. That's funny as heck. That movie, that video, other than you, is like what they probably show in public high schools to tell people why Liberty won't work.
Well,
it's a solid argument.
It's a good argument. There were people that I knew that said I wanted to stay and hear the end, but I feared for my life and I had to leave the area because the way that guy was handling his firearm.
It's on YouTube. Yeah.
I mean, it's sad, you know, like you really think Porkfest would be the place where I expect exemplary gun etiquette. I mean, I don't think there's any room for any kind of deviation from, you know, perfect etiquette. So,
well, I was going to make some video loops of the four rules of gun safety because I already have them filmed. One of them is the pretty girl in Guns and Weed the Road to Freedom at the beginning, and then the other is Jared Waltz in Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle. I was going to make, you know, a 4-minute loop of that, and Davi Barker was going to put it, Derek Slopey was going to bring gear, a TV, flat screen, and a computer, Davi, my good friend Davi, was going to put it on his table at Porkfest, but we may still do that. But I don't know. Do you think it would
help this guy
anybody?
Wasn't there this past year, so
okay.
I think he got the message. Like, oh, you know, like
I'll go be unsafe.
Yeah,
somewhere else.
Like if you can't be in control, then just please don't be around.
I like the I like what we did with Cantwell, which was basically said, if you do poor gun handling, you're probably a cop. I think that's how it should be dealt with.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But you know, the question was, and luckily it didn't come to it, but it made me think, like, you know, there may come a time when someone needs to be disarmed at Porkfest. Like, this guy should have been disarmed. Somebody should have, you know, like, if I had been paying more attention, I might have, you know, I don't know who would have taken that responsibility at Porkfest.
I tried to lecture a guy about it. There was a guy.
oh, jeez.
Well, not even lecture, just school. Like there was a guy who was young. He was like, I don't know, he's 21 probably, but he looked 17, and he like really nerdy looking guy. Short blonde hair, thick glasses, just looked like a nerd, but also kind of looked like a nerd who's a Marine. You know, like the nerds, the guys with glasses, it'll kill you six ways before you can hit the ground. But he had a rifle and a pistol, and he was like. I was like, oh, what kind of, is that a Luger? What is that? And he started kind of waving it around. And I was like, is that loaded? And we were sitting at the table between Lynn Ulbrich and that little like coffee shop that Alexandria runs.
Yep.
And he was alternatedly pointing it at Lynn Ulbrich and the canvas, which would not stop a bullet that on the other side of it, the lady was making coffee. And I started to say, hey, you know, I talked about the rules of gun safety. And he was like, oh, yeah, but the safety's on. I'm like, doesn't matter, man.
They always say some kind of BS like that, don't they?
Yeah. 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 And Lynn Ulbrich and the Alexandria, the coffee
lady.
Hey, you want to hear a funny horror?
I should have like said, hey, we need some muscle over here. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think maybe. These people should be disarmed and escorted off the property.
Schooled like Michael did. You want to hear a horrible gun story that's kind of funny? The gun that's sitting next to me at the moment, it's a 9mm Taurus, was my...
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
No more gun stories.
That was the worst, most effed up. I'm so glad that didn't go out on radio gun story I've ever heard. I can't believe
thank goodness.
No people that that happen too, man.
Yeah. So you'll just have to talk to me in person.
I don't know if I can now. No, I can't. I'm kidding. But that was, man. So I'm starting to feel old. I bought a magnifying glass with an LED on it the other day. I used to, and I have it on my desk. Like that. That's your old when you're buying those things, man.
Well, does this qualify as old? You know, the magnifying tool in Windows?
Yeah.
I have to use that now. Like when I'm sitting on my couch, because I have a PC in my living room as my media machine, and I have to turn on the magnifying glass to read the files because I can't see them.
From across the room?
Well, from probably about 8 feet.
Oh, I thought you meant sitting in front of it. It's actually more fun to just use the magnifying glass on the screen. That feels like an old person thing to do. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yep.
All right, so I figured out how the roads would get built in the absence of government. People always wonder.
I don't.
So here's what I fear would happen in the original days of libertarian paradise, the government going away. I think that all of a sudden everyone would want to do the really hip jobs. They'd want to be the Android programmers. They'd want to be the blockchain the blockchain architects, the jazz musicians. Nobody would want to build the roads. Nobody would want to pick up the trash. Nobody'd want to make sure the water and air are clean. So
I would, because you'd get paid good. They?
Well, you'd get paid to do it, but here's what I think. I think it would involve those people would have groupies. I think that they would
trash
be
doing groupies.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're a young lady and you know someone, or a young man, and you know someone who's doing some job that governments usually do that doesn't pay too well right now, and they're risking going up against government competition, just do them.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, before you know what you're going to do in this world, you always can give your body away. And I'm not just saying women. I mean, you know, when I was a young man, I serviced women who needed it. I was that guy. You know, not in a subby kind of way, not in a cuckold kind of way. But, you know, I would take one for the team. If the team being, you know, someone who's a little older, needed a little love or whatever, or, you know, wasn't the one that everyone was clamoring for. I was kind of like that. So, you know, you could always do that. And you can always do other support things. Like, if you want to help Liberty, you know, find the podcast, not the Freedom Fiends. We don't want you. Find the podcast that, like, is really good, but nobody's, like, promoting them. And just start promoting them. You know, like, do jobs for free. Do anything you can to help Liberty. But really, what you got to do, you ladies, is sleep with the garbage man. That's how Liberty's going to work.
There we go.
But the garbage man is also going to be a robot, so it could be awkward.
Well, they're already doing that in Japan, so what's the difference?
Yeah, doing no, what? I'm picturing a total like robotic waste disposal system.
Yeah,
where it automatically just harvests garbage and transports it to Jersey without any human interaction at all.
Jersey, you know, I was conceived in Jersey.
That may explain some things. I don't know what.
Yeah, it does. But, that's
yeah,
why
and notice the health problems.
Health problems. I know. I said that one time in front of my dad to my girlfriend when we went out for dinner about 20 years ago. My girlfriend said, "Which exit?"
Oh.
Which Superfund site?
Yeah. So parts of New Jersey are gorgeous, but parts of it are also...
I don't know, man. I've only really driven polluted. Through Jersey a couple of times, and it frightened me. You know what it really reminded
me
of?
Jersey Devil.
We were, my ex and I went to one of her friends. He had a video game store down there, and we went for this video game tournament, and we were driving through some part of town in Jersey, and it just reminded me of The Sopranos so much.
Yeah. That opening sequence of Jersey is a nice little overview of the state.
Yep.
Tony's yard is pretty nice. Tony, you know.
Hey, you know,
he's rich.
You know, speaking of Jersey.
Oh yes.
You know, you guys, this is great news. I think Giovanni Gambino warns ISIS: the Big Apple is off limits thanks to Sicilian Mafia. How about that?
Yeah. See, you know what? They've been in the protection racket for a long time. So I think we can trust them.
He says the Mafia has a bad reputation, but much of that is undeserved, says Gambino. As with everything in life, there are good, bad, and ugly parts. The rise of global terrorism gives the Mafia a chance to show its good side.
Well, that's a heck of a way to end the show.
And my fortune cookie says, you will have a long life and eat any fortune cookies. But I'm allergic to soy, which is in fortune cookies. So the fortune cookies are even trying to kill me.
Oh, well, I have a rant for fortune cookies next time I'm on, too.
You have 2 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, no. It won't cover it then.